The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A letter to New Beginnings Church from God. Okay? And I want to go to the book of Revelation. Don't read more into that. It's not the last sermon or anything. It's what I thought would fit for today. So a letter to New Beginnings Church and our 20th anniversary. See our new little thing? We'll be using that. And here we go. Letter to New Beginnings Church. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. So we can talk about things that we've seen, what's going on now, and what the future may hold. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. Don't you like it when the Bible explains something that it muddied up a little earlier? And it says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The church is the place where God created for his people to be a part of, for all the reasons that we are in church, and to bring hope to the world. I tell people all the time, Jesus will save your soul, the church will save your life. Being in church with other people who believe like you. So when you're down, they help you up. When you're up, they rejoice with you. When you're sick, you need help, you've got money to give, you get the blessings of giving, laughing, crying, just all the things that we do in church. That's what church is supposed to be. There are two major components in this church, and in any church. It's the angel. Now, the angel could be translated messenger, or it could be translated pastor. So in this case, you have angel, Saint Angelo, all right? So I'm a saint twice over, all right? So, and the lampstand is the collective lamps who dispel the darkness in the world. That's what we do. Together we have stood the test of time. Together we've worshiped together. We've had some amazing worship times in this church. You know, worship is not just the songs and the music. The worship is collectively having those moments in a service where collectively we know that God is here and we thank him in so many different ways. That's worship, and we've done that together. We've worked together. We've done a lot of things. Probably the most memorable thing that's ever been done in this church, right? Any work. People have done a lot of work around here, so don't think differently, because I'm going to tell you this. But when we got this building, we moved in this building, we don't own it, we rent it. That's another long story. But one of our members, who's now in the arms of his Savior, Bud Pomaz, as many of you remember Bud. And Bud, to say Bud was rough as a cob would not to describe him at all. Bud was a commercial fisherman. I mean, he looked scary, and he talked scary, but he had a heart bigger than this room. I mean, just great guy. So when we got in the building, we took it over. These tiles, where you see that black grout in there, used to be a barbecue restaurant. That's why it's got the barbecue, you know, kind of a outside log cabin look. And Bud said, "Man, we got to do something with the grout." I said, "Bud, what can we do with the grout?" He said, "I could paint it." I said, "Paint it?" He said, "Yeah, I'll paint the grout." I said, "But don't do that. I mean, it's not that important." "Oh, no, we're going to paint that grout." You wouldn't believe how long it took him on his hands and knees and did the whole grout in all this building. That was his gift to us. And when I look at this grout so many times, I remember the labor of Bud Pomaz. And he's representative of the many labors that you've done, the things that we've done here, just the physical aspects of it. The classrooms and other things we added to the back of the building, all your work you've done, adding all of this multimedia stuff. You remember the day I showed up and told you we're going to build a new church? And all of you went, I said, well, we're not going to use sticks and bricks. I said, we're going to use electronic equipment and computers. He said, what is he talking about? I said, we're going on the internet with the church. It's a cheap way. Who can afford TV? We'll just do it through the internet. Because I know computers being in the computer business. And sure enough, we did it. And we hung all this stuff up and got these cameras. And the unsung heroes of our church were in the back room. I feed them popcorn every now and then and throw them stuff. They are amazing what those guys have learned to do to make sure that these messages in this church are out there. You can, around the world, people can tune in and hear what's going on in this building. And they record it. We put it up for delayed broadcast, but they do it back there. And nobody said, well, I think somebody asked me for something one time, but I don't remember what it was. It was money, and I just don't give money away. So, they've never asked for anything. They're just a labor of love. So we've worked together to do that. We've laughed. We've had some of the funniest times. I mean, I don't even want to go to there because I don't want to remind you of some of the stupid things we've done. But we've done our fair share and enjoyed ourselves. One year for pastor appreciation, they put me on a wanted sign, with a mustache and, in fact, I've got it hung in the office over here to remind me. We had Tommy be the attorney. He was my attorney. If you knew Tommy Davenport, he's not much of an attorney. And he was trying to defend me as I was under trial by this group for being guilty of being a Christian. I kept trying to get Tommy to do something. And Tommy kept, no, you're guilty, man. You did it. That was one of the funniest things we've done. We've mourned together. When we lost Tommy. We lost Joanne. Lost Bobby. I don't want to go through a litany of everyone. I don't want to exclude anyone, but we've had some really hard times where we cried together, people who meant so much to us and meant so much to you, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, and we've laid them to rest. But so far as I know, everyone we laid to rest didn't stay there. They're in a heavenly home, all right? And that body one day, when the Lord comes back, they'll be popping out of the grave, all right? So you never know when it's time to leave. But when it's time to leave, if you hang around here, you'll know whether or not you're saved, because I'm not going to let you walk out of the building without making that decision about Jesus Christ. I think that's my job. It's your job to hear it. It's my job to tell it. So we've born together. So we've done a lot of things for the 20 years. And we've come closer to heaven than we've ever been by being here 20 years later. Those of us that are here, the remnant, we're closer today than we were 20 years ago. I don't know how long we're going to be here. One Sunday morning, I was talking to Tommy Davenport. He was growing in the Lord and doing so well. He was just excited about God. And I remember standing right there talking to him. And I asked him how he was doing. And he said, I'm doing great, Pastor. Everything's good. He was telling about a new job that he got. He was really excited. Monday morning, he was dead. Just gone. So we don't know how long we've got on the planet. You don't know whether you're going to make it out of this building. You don't know whether you're going to make it to another day. So if you haven't received Christ into your life, do it. All right? And if you do it, tell somebody. One of the worst things that can happen as a pastor, I've had to do funeral services with people I didn't know. And I'd say, well, did they know the Lord? And they said, we don't know. They went to church when they were kids, but I don't know. I mean, that's terrible. If you know God, tell somebody so they can say, I know that my loved one is in the arms of God because they told me they received Jesus Christ in their life. Don't get confused with a lot of religious rhetoric. It's very simple. If you want to go to heaven, just ask Jesus. That's all you got to do. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you lived, you died, that you were raised from the grave. I don't understand it, but I believe it and I receive you into my life. If you'll just do that, that's enough to get you into heaven's portals. Say, well, don't I have to go to church? Don't I have to give? You can do all that stuff. I believe in it. I'm real excited about doing it, but that won't get you into heaven. You know, so what if I sin? You know, well, will God then condemn me? No, he's not going to condemn you. When you receive Christ in your life, you're born again. If you don't understand that, before you leave, ask the media people to give you a CD or a DVD of last week's message and listen to that. It was really a great explanation of salvation that will help you. You can go to our internet. Since we broadcast, you can go to our website at newbeginningsnetchurch.org. Go look under sermons and you can listen to it, watch it, download it to your phone. So I would recommend if you're unsure about your salvation to do that. If you're listening over the internet today, do that. All right? So you'll know. So we're closer. Some of those who started with us have moved on. They've gone to other churches. No, I'm so happy for them. I hate to lose anybody. I'm an only child. It's my stuff and you're my stuff. I don't want anybody leaving, all right? I don't share. I'm not in the sharing business, all right? When people come to me and they said, the Lord told me to go to so-and-so's church. And, you know, what are you doing? Somebody says, the Lord told you. You said, you liar. That's not true. Or you say, oh, I'm so happy for you that God spoke to your heart. And you watch them leave and say, oh, but they've gone on. We could fill up churches with the people who were here who are now in other churches, and they weren't mad at me. I'm the eternal optimist. If people are mad at me, I never know it. Because why would anybody be mad with me? I don't know. I'm a warm and fuzzy kind of guy. So, but anyway, some have moved on. Unfortunately, some have returned to the world, and I don't know where they are. I've heard some rumors about some. This beautiful cross that I have right here under my feet was given by a guy who showed up here. He was so fired up for God, he was about to ignite and explode. Pastor, I'm here. We're going to build this church. It's going to be great. He's going, oh, no. And I thought, oh, Lord, I've seen this before. And I have somebody all fired up, and they just fired right out the door and just disappeared. And I've never seen him before. But I've got this, and I pray for him occasionally, hoping that he got enough of the message here to get himself in heaven, and I believe he did. So, and as I said earlier, some have gone home, all right? One of the assistant pastors that didn't work out, Reggie Hope, who I love dearly, he sang that song for us, and he sang it at Beverly Cortez's husband's song. He said, if you could see me now, you know, walking streets of gold, if you could see me now, no pain, no more suffering. He said, if you could see me now, you'd never want me to leave this place. And that's how I feel about those who've gone on before us. If I had the power to bring them back, I'd never bring them back. So, folks, I want you to do something for yourself. Congratulate yourself right now. Congratulations, you made it for 20 years, all right? Those of you who haven't been here quite 20 years, in fact, I don't think anybody except Pat has been here for 20 years. For 20 years? Who was in October when we started back in the office building? Judy, were you there at our first meeting?
I went two times to the old church, and then when you started here, I was...
No. I'm talking about back in the office building. Were you there at the first meeting? You there? You were there for the first meeting? Well, congratulations. What's the matter? You guys couldn't find another church? You stayed with me for 20 years? I didn't know you were there for the first meetings.
When we learned that you left, we found out where you were.
You came to get me. I love you. I love you. Wow. Okay, so some of you have been here. Congratulations. I'm glad. I haven't even got to point one of the sermon yet, so just relax, folks. I don't know where we're going. So what about this letter, all right, from God? These are the things. That was the introduction. You have been true to God's word. Revelation 3:8. This is a letter. You know, it's written. The letters are written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. This is a letter written to the church at Philadelphia. Philadelphia, if you know, comes from the word filio, which means brotherly love. So it's a church of brotherly love. It's the only of the seven churches. They got here. Nothing bad to say about them. So, and that's why I chose this one. God said, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The cornerstone of NBC has been God's word. And you have heard it preached, you've received it, you've practiced it, you believed it, and you've followed it. It's God's word. This is not about entertainment, although I am entertaining. It's not about being funny, although I can be funny. It's not about being sad. It's about what God's word said, you know. It's the word of God. When I first got into, felt the call of the ministry, and I've told this before, Pat's dear aunt, Aunt Minnie Lee, she sat in my house on my sofa, and she was a very prim and proper little lady. She was sitting there with a little purse on her knees and her hands folded over her purse. And she said, "Now, Morris, you need to preach the word. People don't need to be hearing about the Reader's Digest and stories. You just preach the word." And Aunt Minnie Lee, if she said something, you listen to her. Is that right, Pat? Aunt Minnie, David knows, you know, you listen to Aunt Minnie Lee. And so I listened to her. And, of course, I listened to God more than I did her. And that's what I do. That's all I know. You know, I've got opinions about a lot of stuff. I can tell you my opinions are worth what you pay for them, which is nothing. You know, I've chosen. It's my choice. I don't receive anything payment out of this church. I never have. I haven't taken anything for myself. So, you know, I sometimes feel maybe I should have, but I haven't. That's another story. Let's go there. So, as your pastor, I'm proud to be part of the church at Philadelphia, renamed New Beginnings Church. All right? You're a loving people. You love people. Strangers walk in this place, and you receive them, and they feel so welcome. And many of you would testify to that. You came here and felt welcome. That's not by accident. It's the word of God and the people of God loving you and caring about you. Many of you have graciously complimented my preaching through the years. If you didn't compliment it, I didn't know about it. All right? So what I believe that you've complimented my preaching. And I want to tell you my secret. All of you, any people who are thinking about getting into ministry, you want to know, this is a secret, my secret formula that I'm going to release today for the very first time. This is a secret. The Word of God makes me look good. That's the secret. That's all I do. I just read. I put the Bible up here so y'all can see it. I just read it, and then I just, you know, get off on one of my little diatribes and just, you know. But it's the Word of God, you know. And that's what, that Word makes me look good, and it makes me look wise. You think I'm a very wise person. I'm not a wise person. I just know what the Bible says for the most part, and I try to bring it to you. The Word of God feeds you, and it builds you up on your faith. Many of you have grown. Thank goodness you've grown. Because when you came here, you really needed to grow, all right? But, you know, spiritually, you've grown. You've learned new things. And you've come to me and told me that your life was changed by what's been said in this church. What would change it wasn't Morris and Angelo. It wasn't my great preaching, great though it is. It's really been the Word of God that's done it. It's what God says that changes you. The rest of this stuff is just windows dressing. It's what the Word of God says. And it has fed you and has built you up on your faith. And the Word matures you to live life. If you didn't have the Word of God, many of you would testify you couldn't get through the hardships of life that you've been through. I mean, some days are really, really, really hard. You know, I mean, I've been through much of it with many of you. And really, really hard days. But the Word of God remains true. The Word of God nourishes you. The Word of God strengthens you. When Joshua was taken over from Moses, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of the law," talking about the Bible, "shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate therein both day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that's written therein." It says, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." It's knowing God's word, letting it be a part of your life, you know, letting it saturate you, that has helped you in the last 20 years at this church. God knows that we're small in number. It wasn't by design. By this time, I thought we'd have about 10,000. That wasn't in God's plan, but it was in my plan, all right? But I want to tell you, we are a fountainhead that touches our community. It really, really is. And I think you have some idea, but you don't know the whole of it all. Via the internet, and Jim gives me the statistics of people who watch our videos and listen to the audios. The numbers are mind-boggling. We're talking thousands and thousands of people that I have no idea who they are that are affected by this church, okay? So their word is going out through the internet. Yeah, Dave, give the Lord praise. You paid for it. You're so generous. When I told you we're going to build a new church and I told you how much money we needed, and I think the number, if my memory serves me right, it was around 35,000, I think I said we originally needed. Within a week, we had $35,000 hard, cold cash in the bank. And you gave the money to do that. And it wasn't one gift from some person. I mean, you've given. Yeah, give the Lord praise. Yeah, hey, just enjoy yourself. That's amazing. So that internet reaches out through the newspaper. I didn't ask to write in the newspaper. When they were starting a new newspaper in town, they asked me if I'd write an article. And I said, sure, I'll do that. Because I love Slidell. I don't mind writing an article for the inspirational page. It's a weekly newspaper. The next week, the editor, the owner, called me up. His name's Kevin. He said, Mark, should you do another one for me? I said, sure. So I wrote one for the next week. The third week he called. He said, look, would you write another one? And just keep writing until I tell you to stop. That's been, what, 10, 12 years now? And I cannot tell you the people that I meet on a weekly basis who come up to me that I don't know who they are. And they say, Pastor Morris. You know, I'm like Roy Rogers, you know. They know who I am. Pastor Morris. And I'm like, oh, man, who is this? I don't know. Now, I read your articles every week. Thank you for writing. They really feed me. I've had the district attorney of St. Tammany Parish tell me that. I've had countless people, pastors, leaders in the community. So we're reaching out. See, it's not me, it's us. You know, the time that it takes me to do that, you let me have that time to do it. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I was recently asked about how many people did we touch. Well, hold on for a minute. Remember when I came to you in 2013 and said somebody wants to give us a radio station? A radio station? We got a radio station. We didn't ask for it. Somebody gave it to us. We didn't know nothing about radio. And I gave my little speech to the technical guys, the pro guys back in the media room. I said, do y'all want to do this? And they said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, you know, I'm not doing it. You know, I'll help it. I'll raise the money. You know, I'll promote it. But I'm not doing it. And they said, oh, Pastor, we can do that. These guys learned how to do radio business. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the greatest radio station in this community. Believe me, it's great. You listen to it. We've got good music. We've got the preaching. We've got people like Dr. Dobson and Crossfire. And we've got children's programs. All of that's on our radio program. Yeah, the voices of program, that's the shining light, the thing that Bob Riles does to interview people in the community. It's great. It's really great. People are listening. That radio station from the antenna behind Copeland's on Gauze Boulevard reaches a 15-mile radius. That's about 120,000 people that are in the listening area, that radio station. How many listen? I don't know, but enough that people tell me they listen. You know, I could pay for Nielsen to tell me how many people, but that wouldn't make any difference. We're going to do it anyway. So then we had the Slidell Ministers Association, which you were a part of. I didn't ask for that. Somebody came to me and asked me to take it, the Ministerial Alliance, it used to be called, and I changed it. Started off with 11 people at the first meeting. The last meeting we had over 50. We've got over 260, I believe, ministers on our mailing list that I I'm in contact with every week. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So we got the internet, we got the newspaper, we've got the radio station, we got Soil Ministers Association, we got you, and we got me. So I was asked, how many people do you think that you touch in a given week? And I thought, I hadn't quite thought about it, you know, and I thought, well, the newspaper's around 15,000 to 17,000 people. Does everybody read it? No, but we got a good chunk of them reading it because they tell me they're reading it. We've got 120,000 people in the radio. I don't know how many listen, but a lot. So I just said, I don't know, probably 10, 12,000 a week people we touch. And when I said it, I thought, oh, my God. That's a lot of people from a little church here in the storefront. You know, and we're lucky if we get 30 people in here on a Sunday morning. That is amazing. Why did I tell you that? Because you made it happen. See, this is my linchpin. This is where I am. I am Pastor Morris of New Beginnings Church. People know that. So people you don't know who you are. See? So through your efforts and your time, You've made it happen. You've given generously of your time. One of the things that you've done is you haven't put such pressure on me that I can't do other stuff. Many pastors can't do the things that I do because the churches are so big and demanding that they have to do those kinds of things. Are you waving at me?
Yes, Jack just pointed out, you had said you thought that by this time we'd have a church of 10,000. What you just said is you do.
Wow! Wow, I guess. Thanks for connecting those dots because I didn't connect them. Thank you. So it's been amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the more I think about it, the more impressed I am with you guys that you put up with me and let me do everything I do. Because really, if we had 300, 400, 500 people, I couldn't do what I do. It's too demanding. It's hard to keep track of you guys. You know, I can't imagine what that would be like. So we've done everything God asked us to do. We've never done less, and sometimes we've done more. And it's been an amazing 20 years. So again, congratulate yourselves, right? You deserve some applause for doing a job well done. Okay. You have seen your enemies fall. You'll appreciate this. Revelation 3:9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but they are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. There's a lot in here, and I don't want to get through all the theological explanation of it all. But many of the problems that you've experienced in this church in your lives have been direct attacks of the enemy. He said, well, why would the devil be mad at me? Well, because that's why you decided to come to New Beginnings Church. Didn't help your cause any, all right? If he can knock you out of the way, he can knock me out of the way. He can, you know, so a lot of things come from that synagogue of Satan, that the worldly system, those demonic forces who like to stop you. He said, well, some of you might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. They come against you, and they fight against you. They war against you. Many times you think it's just life. It's not just life. There's a direct attack on you, your health, your family, and your finances. That's why you need to learn how to use spiritual warfare, how to dress in the full armor of God, how to wield the sword of the word of God and use it for your offensive weapon, to put up the shield of faith to quench those fiery darts that come against you. So a New Beginning Church is a warrior church. We're out doing stuff. We're making things happen. We're making a difference. We've raised our voices and we've raised our swords against evil. Every church service that we have says that Jesus is Lord. That's what we do. This is as I said earlier, when I did entertain you, we're here to build you up on your faith. And that's what we do in the church services. Our radio transmissions, everyone says, Jesus is Lord. We're telling our community, Jesus is Lord, over and over again, without apologies. Our newspaper publications say, Jesus is Lord, without apology. They're very evangelistic. I write in that way on purpose, that people come to know the Lord and be encouraged. The annual mayor's prayer breakfast, that is a shining jewel in the life of New Beginnings Church. That annual mayor's prayer breakfast started right here, right in front of this pulpit, in a chair, when God spoke to me. And he said to me to get busy in Slidell. I was worried about the national scene at the time, what was going on, and I was really distressed about it. And again, God spoke to my heart. He said, just get busy in Slidell. The next day, I called Bill Borsha, who's a dear friend of mine. He's a city councilman. And I said, Bill, when we got our new mayor, who was Mayor Freddie Drennan, I said, didn't he say something about wanting to have a prayer breakfast? And if you knew Bill said, well, yeah, I believe he did. 2 hours later, Bill called me up. He said, I didn't know the mayor. He said, I got a meeting with the mayor set up. I went and met with the mayor, and I said, Mayor, you said you wanted to have an annual prayer breakfast. I think, would you like to do that? He said, I'd love to do that. 2 months later, we had the first mayor's prayer breakfast. We've been having one ever since right here in this community. It started here. I don't pat myself on the back. I pat you on the back. The prayers, trusting God, believing in God, and using the talent and ability that we have that touches our entire community. And it's spread out. We have other cities in this area that are now having mayor's prayer breakfast because of where we started off, right here in this church. So we've gone where others might fear to tread. We've done some things. People say St. Tammany is an anomaly, and it is. People tell me that all the time. This St. Tammany, the things that we do, the interaction we have with the political leaders and the business leaders and school leaders and all of these people and how well we get along. We had a man from Lafayette, a minister's group from Lafayette, who came to Slidell to meet with Mayor Drennan and myself and several other ministers. They heard about what was happening here and they wanted to know how we did it. And they sat in the mayor's office, and there's a big old guy, a wonderful pastor type man, and he starts crying. I mean, he's boo-hooing. And he said, we got nothing like this in Lafayette. Nothing. He said, how do you do it? He said, well, we just kind of started small and let it build. But so far as I know, they still don't have it. We have a chaplain's corps. We have over 40 chaplains through the coroner's office that we help put together. This church is a part of it. All right? We'll put that together. So that when somebody dies in an accident or a murder or a suicide, there's a chaplain from our community that goes out to be with that family to help them. All sprang out of what we do. The chaplaincy program is a part of what you do. This is a different kind of place. It's a different kind of place because we've put Christ first. We don't have to put a sign out front that says Jesus is Lord, but every time we do something, we do say Jesus is Lord. And it's spread and it's taken root. There are many who have opposed us. We've had opposition. An ACLU lookalike tried to stop the mayor's prayer breakfast. And they would send these nasty letters. They're going to sue the city of Slidell to stop us from doing what we're doing. Mayor Drennan wrote them back a letter and said, take your best shot. Here's a couple of tickets. They're free. Come to join us and you can go to our meeting and be there. And in the divine inspiration, the first meeting we were putting together, we were talking about what the format was going to be. And we were talking about the idea of getting public officials to come pray. You know, and getting other mayors to be there and pray. And but we thought, well, maybe some of them wouldn't be comfortable praying out loud. And I thought, and I heard myself say, I said, you know, I bet we could get some prayers of the founding fathers, and I bet they could read those. And I said, wow, what a great idea that is. And I thought, that is a great idea. You know, so what we did, I went and did some research, and you've been to the annual mayor's prayer breakfast. Every time a mayor from one of the communities, they get up and they read what the founding fathers said. Now, you know what's the brilliance of that? The ACLU can't stop us. We're reading historical documents. And I get the privilege, and you participate in that, is putting them in modern day English. I have to change the wordings because of the language of the 1776 in that area, a little difficult to read. And I get to pick out what's said, you know? And so it's amazing. It's really amazing. Again, it's not me, it's about you. You know, allowing me and giving the ability to do that. So we've had many come against us to try to stop us, and it doesn't work. We are invincible in Jesus Christ in our community. We don't have strife. We've brought the black community and the white community together. We've brought the denominationals, different denominations together. When we had out Sunhill Ministers Gala, we have a gala every year, and we invited one of the pastors from a large church here in town to come. He was blown away. He was blown away that we had so many different churches represented at that gala time in saying the things that we say and doing the things that we do, because it's an anomaly. It doesn't happen everywhere, but it's happening in our community, this place we call Slidell. So we are loved by God. The last part of that thing says that that they would have to acknowledge that I have loved you, and people have to say God loves us because God's done it. We don't have a formula. I can't write a to-do book, you know, how to do this and how to make it happen. All I can say is if God's in it, it can happen. All right. The last thing I want to tell you about, you have been rewarded by God. Revelation 3, 10 through 13. Since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to New Beginnings Church. I believe God has been protecting us in many ways, you and our community, from a lot of trials and tribulations that other cities around the nation have been experiencing. I believe we're in a divine protective cocoon by God. It's amazing. Many of our Slidell police and the St. Tammany Sheriff's Office talk to them about this, the coroner's office. They're amazed that there's such a peaceful atmosphere in the city of Slidell. And when things do bubble up, when we had this unfortunate situation that took place out in the Pearl River, not the city of Pearl River, but on the Pearl River itself, where a guy was, there was a fight with some families, and a guy ended up dead, and the two groups ended up at the Slidell Memorial Hospital. It was getting out of hand. Our St. Tammany Sheriff, Sheriff Smith, was called out. He was there personally. And you know what he said? He said, I got to get some of those chaplains out here. He made one call to the coroner's office, and we ended up with five or six chaplains immediately. He went out there. And his testimony, Sheriff Smith's testimony was, when those chaplains walked in, he said, peace just came over the whole crowd. They started talking to people about Jesus and trying to help them and, you know, quiet them down. And he said, it was amazing to see what happened. That's the anomaly. That's what's happening in our community. Slidell's a better place to live because you've invested your time, your money, and your labor in this church. We are victorious because you love and support me. You love and support me. Now, I know that sometimes I rub you the wrong way. Sometimes it's on purpose, but a lot of times it's just misunderstanding. My greatest case of that was a lady who used to come to this church. God rest her soul. She's going home to be with the Lord. I was preaching, like I am right here, and she walked in. She hadn't been in church in a long time. She had been sick. And she walked in, and I saw her, and I was so glad to see her. You know, David, I tell other people when they walk in, I'm glad to see them. And she walked in and said, oh, it's so good to see you. She said, you look like your old self. She turned around and walked out to church. And I didn't hear from her. I tried to call her. They wouldn't answer my call. It was terrible. Judy was the church secretary at the time. And I finally made an appointment for her to come see me. And so I sit in the office talking to her. Judy is up here in the front office. And she said, I said, why did you leave? What is wrong? She said, well, you told all those people about my past life. I said, she had kind of a sordid past life, which I won't go into. And I said, was she misredeemed and saved? I mean, that was the past. And she said, you told everybody that I look like my old self. You told them what I was doing. I said, no, I didn't. I meant you look healthy like your old self. And she said, oh, is that what you meant? I said, wait a minute. I ran, got Judy. I said, Judy, will you tell this lady? Now, Judy doesn't know what's going on. I said, tell her what I think about her. She said, well, Pastor Morris, you're always talking good about her. You worry about her, you know. And she's dumbfounded. She said, well, I thought you didn't like me. You were telling people what I did. I said, no, that's not the case at all. But I tell you that story because I have rubbed people the wrong way unintentionally, all right? If you think I've said something disparaging against you, please come see me. I didn't intend to do it. I may have done it. I don't say I didn't do it, but it was, I know me, and I'm just not that kind of a person. So you've let me be free to work on the front lines. You've given financially to keep this church going. Which, by the way, I told you we needed a new air conditioner, and we got a license thing that I wasn't expecting for the radio station. I told you about it, and I think I put it in the bulletin. We've collected totally on that. Yeah, $950. I didn't need that much, but I'm not giving it back. I'm keeping it, all right? I think we needed $750, and you gave me $950. So, we're in good shape, all right? So, but you do that. You know, you really do that. I don't ask you for money for a lot of things, but if we have a need, I don't mind telling you about it, so let you get blessed. Everything that I do, I do it in the name of this church, and I do it in your name. Vicariously, all right? Because if you weren't here, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing, all right? This is the foundation that I stand on. God has made us, I believe, as a pillar. Like this talks about being a pillar in the city. Let me back it up. Screen here. Back up. There we go. Did I miss it? Oh, yeah, yeah. The one who's victorious, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. I believe we're a pillar holding this thing up. I really believe that. I mean, in my mind's eye, I see like these big cathedrals and they have these giant pillars that hold the thing up. I believe we're part of that. I believe we're helping hold up this city by the work that we do here at New Beginnings Church. God has written your names down. Now, those of you who don't know, let me just tell you, we don't have membership in this church. The only membership is your feet. If you come, you belong. If you don't come, you don't belong, all right? And the reason I did that at the very beginning when I started the church, well, I didn't want to have a membership because people start depending on membership. I remember I met a lady a couple of years ago. I was at, and I asked her where she went to church, and she told me she was a member of First Baptist Church. I said, oh, I know your pastor real well. And I mentioned his name, and she said, well, I don't know him that well. I said, well, he is kind of new, but you remember, brother, and I named the other pastor. And she said, no, she said, I don't know him. I said, when's the last time you've been to church? And she said, oh, I haven't been in a little while. I said, but a week? She said, no, longer than that. I said, 2 weeks? She said, no. I said, a month? She said, no. I said, a year? She said, no. I said, 10 years? She said, I can't remember. I said, you're not a member of that church. I don't know what you are, but you're not a member of that church. Well, so you're a member here, not because your name is on some card somewhere and think that'll do you some good. You're a member because you love it here and you want to be a part of what we're doing here. And same reason we don't pass the basket. New first-time visitors say, when are you going to take up the money? After service, they say, well, how do you give to this church? So we got a box back there in the wall you want to give. Just put your money back in there. You know, we don't pass the basket. You know why? Because the number one thing people complain about churches, all they want is your money. Well, I don't want your money. God wants your money. I don't want it. And it takes money to run the joint. I mean, we got electricity and air conditioners and, you know, all the stuff, chairs. I mean, you wouldn't like this church if we didn't have chairs, you know. You know, somebody had to pay for it. We got these chairs for your wedding, didn't we? Yeah, when they got married, we got these two. The church, the wedding was the next day. The church, the chairs were supposed to be in, and they weren't here. And then, oh no! And they got there that night. Yeah, they came. I mean, it was a last minute. So somebody had to pay for them, and they didn't pay for all of them. You know, they paid for part of it. But it does take money. But I just don't. I'm not in the business of trying to weasel money out of you. You want to give, you give. All right. You know, just giving that basket, you know, that's the way we do it. So, don't hit that button, Mars. All right. So, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's important. But your name's written in the annals of the city of Slidell. You know, back in the Old Testament, talked about the kings, and they said King so-and-so, you know, took over when he was 16 or 20 or 40, and he served for 20 years, and it's written down in the annals of kings. In the annals of heaven, New Beginnings Church is written down, and your name's written down for the work that you've done here in this community to make this place special. You've done it. You've been a part of it. And some of you are new, and that's all right. We'll catch up with you, but you know, and you'll figure out more and more about who we are. And those of you who have been with us a long time, I appreciate what you've done. I really, 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 it's just supposed to be Pastor Appreciation Day. It's really about appreciation for you. You know, I just represent you. That's why I'm here. And I don't have the words to say enough to thank you. Thank you for coming. If you didn't come, it's no fun to preach to chairs. Believe me, all right? You know, I don't like it. And you know, the last part of this scripture, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm saying who's ever listening to the Spirit of God, listen to what God's saying in New Beginnings Church. This is a special place. It really is. There are a lot of great churches in this town, but this is something special going on here. And people who come here tell me that something special here. They sense it. It's the special calling that God has put upon this church to do the work that we do. And people can come here and feel good about it. You can walk out of here feeling good. You're never going to walk out of this church and say, oh, that pastor, man, I feel so great. The pastor just blistered me for all my sins and all that. If you're looking for that, they got a lot of churches who can take care of you. But if you want to hear about the glory of God and what God can do in your life and what God has done and the miracles that take place, if you want to hear about that, this is a good place to hear about it. I'll build you up. I'll give you encouragement. I'll speak the truth. But I'm not in the sin management business. You know why? Ask God how that works. He wrote the law. Ask him, said, well, God, how did the law work out? He said, yeah, not so good. You know, that's why I had to get rid of it. You know, and come up with something new, which was the sacrifice of my son for you and for your sin. So we're not in the sin management business here. We're in the business of talking about Jesus Christ, him crucified. And not everybody's gotten that totally, but a lot of you are getting better. The last couple of weeks, I had people come in and say, you know, it's a little clearer now, you know, starting to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. So listen to what the Spirit is saying to you, the faithful servants at New Beginnings Church. It says that the name would be written on the walls of the New Jerusalem. I believe it is. Can I just digress for a minute? Can I just say that? I mean, I got no biblical reason to say this, all right? But I'm going to say it anyway. There's no theology book. It's got this written down anywhere. It's just me. I have my opinion. And this is my opinion. I believe God is a God of graffiti. I believe he's got angels with spray can paints, all right? And I think he's on the walls of the New Jerusalem. I think he's put New Beginning Church. You're a part of it. That's your name. New Beginning Church. Put down. So the whole creation will know that you were there. You were here. We made a difference. Somebody said, Winston Churchill, I believe, repeated it, but he wasn't the first one to say it, talking about a great battle that was going to take place. And he said, to those warriors going into battle, he said, those who spill their blood with me this day are my brothers, the band of brothers. And we call the men's group the band of brothers. And he said, those who are not with us will rue the day that they were not here on the battlefield. There are many people who are not a part of the Beginning Church. But when the annals of it all are done, I believe they say, God, I wish I'd have gone to New Beginnings Church for the work that they did in the kingdom. Congratulations. You've done a good job. Well done. Good and faithful servants. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Whew. Yeah, just a minute. Let me get a microphone for you, Miss Rose.
The Lord gave me this word early this morning, and it's from Psalm 139. And it says, the Lord is our maker. My new song, Elohim, creator. He is your maker. Remember the name, Elohim. The Lord told me the next day after we sang the song, he said, I want my name proclaimed in the earth. Do it. Do it. But this word here the Lord gave me this morning says, I praise you. I praise you because I am carefully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame, your body, was not hidden from you, who has made it in the secret place. When I had woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. God knows us like he said. God knows us. He loves us. But I want to tell you, Pastor Morris, and I speak for this church. And if they don't agree with me, I don't care because I'm just like you.
That's my girl. Yeah.
We love you with an everlasting love. You are my spiritual father since I came to this house 14 years ago. I cannot express to you from my heart how much I love you and respect you and just thank you so much for all that you have done for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I know there are many here that have much more to say than I am saying, but I couldn't let this opportunity pass that I would not recognize this man and give him the full credit that is due him for all that he has done for us and all that he will continue to do for us in the future.
I don't believe
and
it.
Slidell, God, how many years ago at Loyola? I have no idea. You know, the charismatic renewal. Father Cohen, God rest his soul, he's in heaven now, but he spoke a word, and it was later prophetically confirmed that the United States of America, 49 other states, would look to the Gulf of Mexico to see what is going on the Gulf of Mexico in the spirit that has not been declared before. But it is being declared now, and it will continue to be declared. And I'm admonishing you and asking you to join me in one thing that Karen and I just said it a few minutes ago, going out into the community. I go in the supermarket. I'm talking to people about Jesus. Sometimes I pray with them at the cashier's counter. In the beauty parlor, they come in there with all their troubles, and I'm praying for these women and talking to them, ministering to them. That's what we need to do. Be who you are, wherever you are. You are a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Don't ever let anybody ever downgrade you or destroy your understanding of who you are in Christ, because you are a precious child of God, and he loves us, and we love Jesus. If it wouldn't be for Jesus, I don't know where I would be today. I might not even be alive. But I'm going to be 83 years old in a few weeks. And like Charles said, God still has a lot of work for me to do in the kingdom of God. And I'm saying you do too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Rose. Hallelujah. Miss Rose is one of our gifts to this church. When she first came here, and she didn't know a whole lot about the message of Christ. And I didn't think she was going to stick it out with me. I figured I'd rub her the wrong way. She's kind of a strong personality. And I thought she was going to tell me off one day and just march out of here. But she loves me and stayed here. I'm so happy. Okay. I think I'm done. And I don't know what's supposed to happen. I am out of control now. I'm about to turn the control of the spaceship over to Bobby. And she's going to tell me what to do. Nick, turn it over to Nick. Come up here, Nick.